Welcome to the UK Property Podcast Experiment, a true look into how you can invest in the property market today in the UK without getting burnt. This podcast is not financial advice. Hi everybody, and after last week we talked about all the different strategies that you could do if you wanted to invest in property in the UK today. Well, we're going to cover a few of them strategies today and tell you exactly the main ones, about eight, that you can use if you want to make money in the property game today. So what you'll find is that each different mentor or guru will probably specialize in one of these eight and probably even already wrote a book on it. So you probably will get that sold to you as well at some point. So let's go through the eight. We are the most popular one, BRRR. Next one is buy to let. Next, HMO, rent to rent, lease with an option to buy, commercial to residential, serviced accommodation, and supported living. So let's start with the most popular one straight away, and that is BRR and buy to let. So BRRR, buy, refurbish, rent, refinance, or remortgage. So how exactly does this work and why is it so popular? How it works is that you go out there and you find a property that needs value adding to it in some way. This is usually a house that requires a new kitchen, a new bathroom, new flooring, new decor. What you do is you turn it into something fantastic and beautiful and awesome. And then what you do is you put people in it and you rent it out. In between times, sometimes you can remortgage it very quickly, but the standard in industry is about 6 months. So you wait your 6 months, by that time you've got your rent off your lovely tenants and everything's fantastic, and then you get it revalued. So what you're looking for is enough added value in the property to cover everything it's cost you to buy that property, as in deposit. This deposit is usually 25% of whatever you've paid for the actual property. It'd be 25% if you wanted to bridge the property as well, which is the proper way to do it rather than mortgaging from minute one, because you're not mortgaging because you're not buy to letting. You're actually buying the property at that point to actually do it up. So on top of that, you've got your legal fee, whatever that may be. It all depends on whatever they charge you from each solicitor, but they're all about similar. Then you've got your mortgage booking fee and possibly even your broker fee as well. The booking fees usually can be in with the mortgage, if that's when you're ready to rent it out. Don't forget you've got your stamp duty as well on top of that. And then on top of that, you've also got what you call your holding fees. So when you buy the property, you've then still got to pay council tax, water, gas, electricity. And then depending whether you're bridging or whether you're mortgaging, there's those fees to take into account as well. So the quicker that your building contractor can turn this property around, the lower your holding fees are, but they must be calculated for. Then after the 6 months, you get the mortgage company to come in and they will value the property. Now don't forget, they'll only give you 75% loan to value, LTV. You'll hear this bantered around quite a bit. So whatever the property is worth, 75%. That means then that this 75% has got to cover everything you've outlaid so far to get into that property. Now it is acceptable to leave some money in. 10 grand is fine. Anything more than that and people can start to get a little bit itchy, especially if you're doing this for an investor. So this is the BRRR model. This is extremely popular and has even been the basis of many TV shows about property, Homes Under the Hammer and so forth. And they all like to get a property, do it up, get it revalued, and then wow, how much money have they made? Are they going to sell it on, which is flipping, which is something else you can do as well, or are they going to put tenants in it and rent it out? So it is extremely popular and probably one of the most easiest ways to invest in property. If you can rinse enough money back out when you refinance, that can be the next deposit on the next house, and so on and so forth. But you always usually end up leaving something in, so your money dwindles and diminishes as the property projects roll on. So it's not a perfect way to keep going, but it is a good start. So let's talk about the basic bread and butter buy to let, as some people call it, the vanilla buy to let.
because it's simple, easy, and has been done for years and years and years. So that's basically getting a property. It might not even need any money spending on it, and you move people in and you become a landlord and you rent it out. It's as simple as that. There is a little bit more to it. Obviously, there's legals to think about, because when you put people in your property, you've got a duty of care to them. That property must be at least a good, reasonable standard for people to be able to live in. Otherwise, even if you get a bit of mould, these tenants can take you to the council and they can stop paying rent, and they can make a complaint against you as a landlord. So even though I say it's the simplest and the easiest, there's no such thing as simple and easy in property. It's just one of the easier methods that you can use. So what is the financial basis for doing a buy-to-let? Well, number one thing you've got to cover is your buy-to-let mortgage, unless you're a very wealthy individual and you've bought the house unencumbered, so it's all paid for. And then what is left is the rent, and what you've got to take out of that is obviously insurance and maintenance. And then if you're going to have a letting agency look after it for you, it's usually 10% of whatever that rent is. But if you've done a buy-to-let mortgage, you're going to also have to account for your mortgage on top of that. This method also does not allow you to add any value particularly to the property, and you do not refinance it. Therefore, you do not rinse any money back out of this project. It's simple as a buy-to-let. So how much money will you make out of this? It is very regional, from London through to Newcastle to Manchester, Nottingham and Derby. It will all be different on how much money you can make out of it. We call this cash flow, and cash flow is king when you first start a business. So this might not be the perfect way, but it will be the easiest way to start your cash flow in property. The great thing about buy-to-let is that you've started a passive income. Even when you're asleep, you're making money. So no effort is required, as long as the tenants are happy and the house is well cared for and in good order. You can go to sleep and you're making money. Passive income. And that is really what you're aiming for. So let's talk about something that's not a passive income, and that's flips. So flips is where you buy a house, and then what you do is you bridge it 9 times out of 10 if you're not going to buy it outright. And the bridging allows you enough time to actually do up the property, the done up value. How do you know the done up value? How do you know what it's going to fetch when you've done it up? And to what level do you do it up? Do you just fluff it and buff it? Or what do you bring it to a very, very high standard and finish? Well, that all depends on the street. It's no good making a house like a palace if it's on the back end of a really, really rough estate like the Bronx. There's no point in that, because nobody will be looking to live there that's looking for that level of living. So when you're flipping, it's all depicted by the area and the street. So how do you know the value? You go on to things like Rightmove, and you see what they call comparables. People will always ask you, what's the comparable? What they mean is, what's the most somebody's paid for a very similar house on the same street, or at least the next street? But if you can get a 3-bedroom for a 3-bedroom comparable on the same street sold within the last 6 months, then that's brilliant. That's a fantastic guide to how much money you can make out of the house. So say, for instance, the ceiling price on the street is 200,000, then you want to buy that house for about 100,000, then probably spend 20 to 30 grand on it, and then whatever's left is your profit. And don't forget, if the housing market is weak on selling, you could be waiting a long time before that property actually sells for your 200 odd thousand and before you make your profit. Once you've made your profit though and you sell the house, it's done. That is your income finished. It's not a passive income strategy. It is a one-hit wonder one. But it works for a lot of people very, very well, especially when the housing market is strong. But you make your money when you buy the house, not when you sell it. So you're looking for a property that you can add a lot of value to and make a large profit at the end of the project. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Let's talk about rent to rent. Now, this is really popular for a simple reason. You don't really need any money. We kind of do, because what you're going to do is you're going to find a landlord that doesn't want any hassle anymore. He's had enough of doing the rent routine. He's had enough of tenants. He just wants an income from his property. So what does he do? He lets you rent it off him for an agreed value. One where you can get tenants in and continue to rent it out, but probably as a serviced accommodation or even just as a rental for your tenants. And then whatever you pay to that landlord is whatever you pay, and what's left over is yours. And this is called rent to rent. And people say this is a no money down strategy. It kind of is, but you're going to have to pay for a solicitor to do all the legals so that he's happy. You're also going to have to convince the landlord that this is something he wants to do, because at the end of the day, what he's doing is handing over his property to you. So you've got to work out who is responsible for what. Are you responsible for all the internals? What if there's damage to the roof? What if there is substance that occurs? All these big things need to be tied down legally as to who is responsible for what. That's very important, and that costs money, because he's not going to pay for it. He might do if you can talk him into it, and if you can, that's fantastic. But 9 times out of 10, you usually offer to pay for the legals for the rent to rent. Rent to rent is that simple. You can do what you want with it. A lot of people now are doing what they call rent to SA. So they'll rent a property from a landlord, they'll turn it into a serviced accommodation, they'll put it on Airbnb and so forth, and that's how they'll make the profit out of it. But you are still responsible for that rent to that landlord, whether you've got full occupancy or not. And that is something you must remember with rent to rent. Okay, so let's push on to something else you can do in property. Let's talk about lease with an option to buy. So what's that about? Well, basically, you go up to somebody and say, how much do you want for your property? And they go, well, I want £200,000. And you go, I can't quite afford that. I'll tell you what, I'll give you £150,000. And they turn and say, no. So what do you do at that point? We say, well, I'll tell you what then, I've got another idea. Why don't I lease it off you for said amount that you both agree, but I want an option to buy your property, and I'll buy it in what, 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, whatever you agree with the landlord, for the £200,000. Now this is quite a clever strategy if you think about it, because that house in the next 5 years is going to be worth £200,000 plus easy. So you're buying it in 5 years time at a discounted rate. Very, very clever. Or you can also use it as a negotiating tool. You can turn to the person who's selling the property and go, I'll tell you what, there's your way, which will take time, but you get your full money. Or there's my way, where you don't get the full money, but it goes very, very, very quick. And this is an excellent, excellent bargaining tool for getting the property that you want to get to make your money and make that property part of your portfolio. Right, let's roll straight into our next strategy, and that is commercial to residential. Now, why is this so fantastic? It's because there's so much commercial property out there doing absolutely nothing, and you have the opportunity to take that, redesign it, and turn it into a residential. This means that you do not need full planning, because it's a different purpose of use. Therefore, you can put your plans into the planning office. Don't forget, you're still under building control. But if they do not come back to you with you in 56 days, you can crack on with the job. And this is the government's way of encouraging us to turn old commercial property into useful residential property, something the UK is crying out for. We've got nowhere near enough housing for the people that live here. So this is a good way to make your money. But there are some drawbacks. Number one, it usually takes a long time before you see a return on your money. You also have to surround yourself with people that really know what they're doing. Your building contractor will be absolutely key to this. And also the people who do your plans and draw it up, your architect, is going to be extremely key to making this a functional property that you can use very wisely as a residential or sell it on as a residential. Either way, this is a very good strategy, very exciting. I like the sound of it, but I think you've got to be able to put the time in and be willing to wait for the returns. That is commercial to residential. Now, the next one we're going to deal with is the one that's extremely popular right now, doing really, really well, and I blame really the pandemic for this. And this is serviced accommodation. So this is where somebody takes a property, and whether it's in a town or it's on the coast, and they rent it out on a short-term basis. There is a lot of advantages to doing this and some disadvantages. It's not really a passive income like with your buy-to-let, because if you have somebody in for one night, you've still got to get somebody to go in and change the sheets and clean it up and prep it for the next person, because these serviced accommodations live and die on their ratings. So they've got to be absolutely spot on. So in some ways, if you're going to do that yourself, you could be changing your 9-to-5 job to another job. It depends. You can have people to come in and manage your SA for you. So, and they make their money out of doing that. You could also specialize in that. But the reason that serviced accommodation is doing so well is because people don't want to really leave the country anymore, because this is something that's happened to us since the pandemic. Also, Airbnb have made a fantastic job actually promoting this on the television and to people. And now there's even fantastic SAs that are themed. I heard one about one the other day, which was all themed around Harry Potter and around Hagrid and his cottage, and it just sounded fantastic. According to the person telling me the story, the place is booked out for years. So that shows you how popular SA is. There's another little tweak with SA that can make it even easier and sweeter as well, and that is that you can get a property off a landlord who's had enough, and then you can rent it off him or lease it off him, however you want to put it, and you can turn it into an SA. But you will live and die by how much void you have in that property. So it's really, really essential, even more than any others kind of strategy. You do your homework and you do it really well, and you make sure you're going to get the occupancy as much as you possibly can, and you make sure it is a well cared for, catered for business that really makes people want to come back. And then you can look what the other properties are charging around that area, and you can charge similar, if not more, if your SA is extremely popular. Like I say, at this moment in time of doing this podcast, SA is extremely popular. People seem to like to do it and seem to enjoy it. So what we're going to talk about next is supported living. So supported living is where charities take properties, and what they usually do is they lease them from landlords for 3 to 5 years. And then you literally give the keys to the charity and they look after it. They must return it in the same state that you give it to them. Now, these charities don't want high-end palaces. They want something a little bit more robust with fittings and fixtures that can be replaced at reasonable money. And that is the kind of hard-wearing, robust property they're looking for. In fact, if you get into supported living, the charities will tell you what they want, and they have a criteria that you must meet. And you must also think to yourself, well, wow, not only am I making money out of the property, I'm actually doing good in the community as well. So supported living is a really, really good way of making money, because you simply hand over the keys, the charity looks after it, they've got any problems they do come back to you, but ultimately they are in charge of that property, they can decide who they put into it, and they have to handle all of that. The only thing you'll be responsible for as a landlord is probably the main structure of the building, the roof and so forth. But each charity has a different criteria as to what they want. But again, it's an excellent way of making money out of property. Okay, everybody, I think I've bored you enough with the strategies that you can do in the UK to make money out of property at this moment in time. Things are always changing, the market's always changing, and to be honest, I've really have give you a broad brushstroke of information. There's lots of other little nuances that each strategy has got, and advantages and disadvantages that I've just not got time to go into on a single podcast when I'm trying to cover all the strategies. So where does this leave us for the next podcast from me? Well, believe it or not, there is another way to make money out of property where you don't need a lot of money to start, and that is called deal sourcing. and deal packaging. So on the next podcast, we will be looking at how you can do that. So everybody, I hope out there you're making money out of property. I really wish you the best of luck, and drop me any comments or any questions below or anything that you wish me to cover in future podcasts. Take care. Bye-bye.